This episode is brought to you by HivePass. HivePass is the latest in membership management software that brings a radically different approach to how members join your organization, their experience as a member, and how you interact with them. Built by not only an app developer, but also a mountain biker, HivePass was made by a trail user for trail users. With an app-based platform, instant digital membership cards, ability to send push notifications to members, in-app trail status reports unique to your organization, HivePass is building the next generation of membership management software for your organization. Future additions to HivePass include an event system, automated custom trailhead signs, and much more. HivePass has been live in New Zealand and Australia for a few years, but just launched in Canada, and with this announcement, the United States. Over 50,000 trail users already use HivePass to support their local trail organization. HivePass is the world's first app-based membership management software built specifically for trail organizations. For all of the details, check out hivepass.app. That's www.hivepass.app. Or download the HivePass app today. You're listening to Frontlines, a podcast for the people that truly make mountain biking happen. Not the riders, racers, or product designers, but the builders, advocates, and the often forgotten board members of your local mountain bike trail association. My conversation today is with an organization whose existence has followed a similar timeline as the podcast. I've had a number of guests from the state of California over the years, many of them who have played a role in making the California Mountain Biking Coalition a reality. Let's get right into it. I'm your host, Brent Hillier, and this is episode 91 of Frontlines. My guest is Michael Anzalone. He's the executive director of the California Mountain Biking Coalition and is joining me from South Lake Tahoe. Hi, Michael. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Brent. Yeah, excited to be here.
Tell us a little bit about the California Mountain Bike Coalition. How long has it been around for and how did it get started?
Yeah, the organization itself is relatively young. It launched in 2020 officially, though there was a little bit of work that was done, not a little bit, actually quite a bit of work that was done before to get the organization ready for launch. And we are an organization of organizations. And so we're comprised of now 35 plus trail stewardship organizations that are based in California. These are all bike-friendly organizations. So they're building and maintaining trails in and around California that are accessible to bikes. And their work is, we really are here to be a voice for the larger mountain biking community in California, and also a voice for the trail stewardship community here, and representing them in various capacities. In some instances, in Sacramento, and tracking and influencing legislation. In other instances, we're helping to build and foster relationships with some of the larger agencies, the land managers that are operating here in California, both state and federal. And then we're also here to be a strategic partner to those organizations and helping them on their journey from, you know, for many of them, getting their organization off the ground to becoming what some of our more established organizations are, which are, you know, professional staffed and making that transition from volunteer to paid professional organizations.
Awesome. How long have you been involved with the organization?
Yeah, I got involved actually in about halfway through 2020. The organization launched and had an initial executive director, and was really, you know, really helpful. And I'm going to take that over. The organization, I've been involved since 2020, about halfway through the year. And when the organization launched in 2020, the initial executive director had more of a background in communications and marketing. And what was really needed at the time was, because this was a brand new organization, was someone with some experience, you know, building organizations, creating systems and creating process. And so They went out and the founding board put a call out and looking for an executive director. And so they, you know, reached out by way of an interview and such. I got involved in the organization and have been, yeah, and working ever since.
And what was your kind of background before working with the coalition?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I one of the jokes that I make when I'm out speaking and meeting with different communities is like, if you look at my hands, they're pretty soft. I don't have a background in trail building. And I, you know, willingly admit that. I've had the pleasure of the last 4 years of and helping organizations and learning a bit about that. But really my background actually is in coalition building. So prior to my starting up with the California Mountain Biking Coalition, I was working actually in the for-profit realm for another coalition that was mostly for-profit food and beverage brands. And these were all mission-driven companies, right? Folks that had a deep environmental and social commitment. And the coalition itself was focused on helping these leaders and on their journey, right, of leading these organizations. And, you know, we are in a constant state of evolution. And it's really important from our perspective in terms of impact to invest time and energy in the development of those leaders and to create a community and a space where they could come together as peers and support each other along that journey. So you'll see, and maybe by way of our conversation today, we've baked in quite a bit of that into the coalition. I don't know that was necessarily the original intent of the organization, but it's something that we've really fostered in creating a space for the boards and for the paid staff of these organizations to come together and to share information from, you know, one place to another. There's often, you know, there's times where, you know, I've heard it mentioned previously in previous episodes of your podcast. It's, you know, there's value in the inherent knowledge of our communities. And sometimes we just need a space and a place to be able for that information to flow. And so for us and the organizations we're working with, we are really trying to create that space where they can do that with ease.
Yeah, I really think that, you know, certainly in the time that I've been hosting this podcast, we're seeing more and more of this kind of collaboration between organizations. And there's certainly some states that have kind of had this in place for much longer. I know Washington State has a kind of an umbrella model organization, and New England has NEMBA. There's SORBA, kind of, which is connected to IMBA in some ways. Why did California kind of need this organization? And perhaps is it something that you know, every state kind of needs something like this coalition?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I, you know, back to the history of how this organization or why this organization was formed. I'm sure some of the listeners here are familiar with IMBA, International Mountain Biking Association, and the work they're doing across the U.S., a number of years ago, there was a reorganization, and in California, we had a representative, Laurel Harkness, who's a force and was a champion for trails and champion for mountain biking. And by way of that reorganization, we lost her as a representative. You know, I play a similar role here in the state as she did, which is like connecting these organizations and providing insight and perspective that might help these different communities. So, you know, the founding organizations, there were five when we started, and now we're at 35 that are part of the coalition. So we've seen some significant growth, but what those founding organizations heard in their conversations with other trail stewardship organizations is they wanted a voice in Sacramento. And really the original intent and purpose of this organization was to have this unifying voice and platform and for it to go to work in Sacramento on legislation and to be tracking and influencing elections. It's like, we want to get people elected, you know, that are sympathetic to mountain biking, that maybe even mountain bike themselves. We want to get them elected and keep them into office. That's one aspect of this political action. The other aspect is every year in California, there are, you know, over 1,000 pieces of legislation that get introduced. And it's tough for a local organization, a volunteer local organization, to be on top of all of that. And so, you know, key role for us is surveying all of that, you know, sort of reviewing all of that legislation that is being proposed, making sure that it is, you know, in service of trails, in service of mountain biking and recreation. And for us, you know, with the once we've identified a slate of legislation each year that we want to either support or oppose, we go to work and we start knocking on doors in Sacramento and either, you know, garnering support and sharing the perspective of the trail stewardship community and the mountain biking community in California to make sure that, you know, what advances is really in service of, you know, those interests as well.
So that listeners kind of fully understand what's involved here. Not just any organization can go to a state capital like Sacramento and participate in kind of that political process. Most organizations that we see in the mountain bike community are what's known as 501c3s, which would be kind of similar to what I have where I live here in British Columbia, and I think across Canada as like a nonprofit. And a charity, a nonprofit charity. So that's if somebody were to make a donation, they get that kind of tax receipt. But your organization is a 501c4. So tell us kind of what the difference is there. And I know that this allows you to kind of really participate in that political aspect of, the organization's kind of mandate.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So with intention, this organization was established and launched as a C4. You know, to the listeners there, C3 versus C4, they're in the US, they're both charitable organizations. They can, you know, both accept donations. But what is unique about them each respectively is how they can engage in that political process. And specifically, it's around elections. Like for instance, you know, when it comes to legislation, C3s can, you know, weigh in on legislation and share their perspective and even, you know, ask their community for support or letters of support or, you know, ask them to get in touch with their representatives. When it comes to elections though, that the restrictions around that, those activities are more explicit. The C4 here in the US, one of the things that we can do is actually endorse candidates. So if there's someone that, you know, demonstrates to us and to the community that they their commitment to recreation and to cycling and to trails, you know, that's someone that we can then promote and help get the word out and garner support for their campaigns. That's particularly important this year, right, on a major election year. And one of the things that we're doing is to really support the local communities here is developing a recreation-oriented questionnaire, which we'll send out to all the candidates. And based on their responses, we'll develop a voter guide, which sort of communicates the candidates' respective positions on those questions. And then we'll go one step further. And this is where that C4 piece of this becomes important. We can actually go out and endorse particular candidates for this upcoming election that we think are, you know, the best examples and best supporters of the work that the, you know, mountain bikers and the trail stewardship community might want to support. So for us, I think one of the things that we've about, I think now 2 years ago, when it comes to supporting C3s and C4s, again, they're both charitable organizations. Anyone can make a donation to a C3 or a C4. But what's distinct is that when it comes to tax deductions, C3s can actually issue a letter, a tax deductible letter that a charitable donor can use in, you know, for their tax purposes. So in recognition of that, one of the things that we've done is establish a partnership with a sister C3, the California Trails Foundation. And that organization, we're able to encourage people to make donations to CMTB by way of the Trails Foundation. And the Trails Foundation can then make a grant to CMTB for the non-political, the non-election related activities that we engage in over the course of the year.
In a past episode, way back in episode 12, we kind of went through this a little bit with Marin County, where they've got a number of land managers that have elected officials. And so this was their kind of justification to make sure that they could still wade into that political landscape, was that they wanted to be able to endorse candidates. And it's something that we see a lot of other, you know, entities in the world participate in. I think in Canada, we have one prime example that we see in the United States that I hate to bring it up because it can be a bit of a touchstone, but the NRA is an example of an organization that's going to endorse certain candidates and not endorse other candidates. And how does the organization engage with kind of the voters, essentially, or the public, the mountain bikers out there? Because what I'm hearing from you is that you guys are really, you're going to Sacramento, you're endorsing certain legislature, you're making all that happen. But what's the kind of user interface from the coalition to kind of the average mountain biker riding in California?
Yeah, this year, you know, there's our political action season runs here in California. It runs from typically around February or March. Things kick off, like the proposed legislation hits. We go to work reviewing it, making comments and suggestions, engaging with our trail stewardship community to get their input and feedback on the particular legislation that is pertinent. And again, we go to work kind of on the back end, engaging the legislature, both the Senate and the Assembly on these, on the slate of legislation. When it comes to engaging the general public, that's a bit later in the process. So once the legislation is out there and we've identified the slate of legislation, at times, as things move through the system, say a bill here in the California will start maybe in the state assembly, and then has to be, each of those assemblies have their different committees, subcommittees that might be a natural resources committee, for instance, and something has to move through the natural resources committee before it hits the floor for general vote. Once it clears the assembly, then it has to move over to the Senate and go through a similar process. And so at key points, right, there are times during that whole process where we need to be as this community of mountain bikers in California, we need to be demonstrating our support or opposition to particular pieces of legislation. And that's where the coalition really, I think, comes to life and has the potential to even do more than it is currently. The 35 organizations that we are working with represent 250,000 plus mountain bikers and voters in California. And so one of the ways that how we engage that larger community is by way of the 35 organizations that are participating in this coalition. So when we have a slate and we're tracking the various legislation and when they're going to, you know, certain votes are going to happen, we put that call to action out to our member organizations, out to our larger list of riders and voters in California, and we ask for their support. Sometimes that means, you know, I'm signing on to a petition. Sometimes that means sending a letter to a district representative to let them know that, you know, what trails mean to you and to your community, or what this legislation, how that, you know, a particular piece of legislation might impact that. So this is, I think, really where this state level coalition, it's I think from my perspective, a real value that it adds to what's going on here, is because it is tough to make sense of all of that. If you're just being pulled into it on a limited basis. There's a lot of moving parts to this. There's a lot of conversations that are happening kind of behind closed doors. And we have been working on behalf of riders, on behalf of trail stewards, to get a seat at the table. And we're doing that really by way of our collective numbers. And that's really the model here, and how we're, you know, we see this sort of symbiotic relationship between the local organizations that we're working with, their respective community members, and the work that we're doing in Sacramento.
Now you've got 35, I think you said, organizations, and so I'm sure that that's quite a spread of different sizes of organizations. You know, I'm familiar with the San Diego Mountain Bike Association and Susie Murphy, who's there. She's a big supporter of the show, and that seems like a much larger organization. But I'm sure you've got smaller organizations that are kind of in there too. How do you interact with each of these organizations, and do you support some of the smaller ones to kind of be able to grow, or how does that part of the organization work?
Yeah, absolutely. So we the 35 organizations that are participating, it is full spectrum. Like you mentioned, San Diego Mountain Bike Association, they are on one end of the spectrum in terms of size and scale and complexity and even capacity. And then on the other end of that, we have organizations that are just stewarding their first mile of trail, that just formed their board, that just got their C3. And there's, you know, there's folks within those 35 organizations across that full spectrum. I think one of the third leg of our stool is really about being this sort of strategic partner to these organizations. I mean, the one beautiful thing about organizations is that they're never done. Right? You're never done developing. You, yeah. Wherever you are, there's always a place further down the path that you want to be. And that's the commonality across that spectrum, and really what we're trying to do by way of some of the conversations that we're hosting with our organizations. We convene these organizations on a quarterly basis. I was listening to the previous episode where the guest that you had on there was talking about maybe we need to get these organizations together on a regular basis and get these leaders together and get them talking. And that's an important and an essential element to the work that we're doing. Because by getting them talking, by getting them sharing, by getting them asking questions, there's a tons of knowledge within this community, and they just need a space to come together and to be able to like have those conversations, sometimes in confidence, but you know, in a safe space. And that's something that we provide to them. One of the things that we've seen is like when you talk about organizations like San Diego Mountain Bike Association or Santa Cruz Mountain Trail Stewardship or Tamba in the Sierras, you know, these are organizations that have been around for decades. And when we have earlier stage organizations, it's daunting to think about how this three-person board that's stewarding 2 miles of trail is going to become San Diego Mountain Bike Association or Tampa or Santa Cruz. And really what we're helping them do is break that down and setting these incremental stages of development. And for us, that one of the things that we really emphasize is planning, right? It's about incorporating some reflection in there, you know, acknowledging where you are, recognizing where you want to be, and then creating a series of goals, of steps that happen over the course of some time to put you on that path. You know, this is a long game. And we want organizations that are going to be around for decades, and we want to help create and support organizations that are going to be around for decades. And sometimes just having a thought partner is the thing that will help get that early stage organization to its next phase of growth. One of the trends that we're seeing here in California, and I'm curious if it's happening in other places, even, you know, beyond our borders, is the professionalization of these organizations. You know, we're starting to see for some of our highest functioning organizations, they've made that jump, right, from volunteer led to paid staff. And they are, you know, first, it depends kind of what, you know, what that first hire might be. Sometimes it's an executive director role. Sometimes it's a trails director role. And one of the things that we're doing, or one of the things that we've recognized, is like there comes a time, there's like this point of inflection where your organization has seen success, right? You've demonstrated to your agency partners that you are a trusted partner in this, that you do what you say your organization says it's going to do. And with that success comes often more opportunity. And for volunteer organizations, you know, we see they often these volunteer boards they're doing this in their free time. Some of them are still working full-time jobs and then doing this on nights and weekends. And that success really kind of gets them to a point where they're like almost like ready to burn out, you know? And that's a really scary thing for us. It's like, we don't want to see that. We want to have long-standing organizations. And so we've been in conversations with a number of our organizations to talk about what that first hire might be, and to create some resources for them to think about how, where they want to take their organization and what would be the most logical or most helpful hire in this moment, to put them on the path to, you know, again, their next phase of development. So it's really exciting I love those types of conversations, right? When an organization is at that point of inflection, because there's some nervousness to it, to the conversation, but there's also a lot of excitement. And a lot of that is rooted in the potential, right? For what they've created to become something bigger than what they are, or something that's more evolved than what they are currently today.
Yeah. I mean, that support is huge, just, you know, from the perspective of a smaller organization. And it's tough, you know, and I know most, if not all of our listeners will kind of understand the world that we're working in is you know, and we've said this before, but we're operating a small business, in our free time. And personally, for myself as a small business owner, it's a lot of headache. It's a lot of frustrations and these moments where it's just like, oh my God, I don't understand anymore. Right. And so just having this mentorship is huge. It's such a benefit.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to talk about or make sure we got to in terms of your question is how we're engaging these 35 organizations. California is a massive state, right? There's a lot of ground to cover here. We have organizations that are up on all the way up to the Oregon border, down to the Mexico border in San Diego. We have organizations up and down the Sierras, up and down the coast. And a big part of my role is engaging with the leaders of these organizations. And there's a few tools that we use to cover that ground, physically and virtually. And I'd say the first and foremost for the coalition itself is we have a digital space. We use the Slack platform where all of our organizations can come together and message, and we have, you know, threads of different themed conversations that they can participate in and drop questions into. So we have this like regular chatter that happens amongst the organizations and leaders of these organizations. This is all very much kind of like back end. Like if you were, you know, reaching out to a company and engaging with another CEO or another head of marketing, something like along those lines, that's been really helpful for us to cover a lot of this ground. I think another important element of this, and this is like in the community building sense, is having regular meetings and regular calls where we're gathering some of those leaders. So we have a 35, I think it's 36 now, member organizations. We have an advisory council. So each organization appoints two leaders to represent them on that council. And so we have, in addition to all those threaded conversations, we also have a space for where we can go, CMTB can go, to garner input on different pieces of legislation or how things are going with certain land managers and such. And that's a very safe and sacred space for them to talk freely and frankly about the reality of what's going on in their respective communities. And then the third piece of this is, in terms of engagement, is actually getting out on the road. We were fortunate enough, we've been building relationships with some corporate partners within the industry. Marin Bikes actually is one of those. And they actually had a demo van, a Sprinter van. They were going to sell it. And we reached out to them and asked them, would they be, consider donating the van to CMTB so that we could use it to get out on the road and get and engage the different organizations in their backyards. And I think that's a really important piece of this, like demonstrating our commitment to those organizations and to their communities. So, basically three times per year, I do roadshows in different regions around California. In the fall, I head up to upstate. So in Redding and Shasta and Eureka and Arcata and those zones and driving around, meeting both with our member organizations and the ones that we want to be part of the coalition that are not yet. In the winters, I generally will head south and I'm working, down, getting together with Steve Messer from Corba, Susie in San Diego. I heard you talk to the Lowlifes a few years back, getting together with them, the Mount Wilson Bicycling Association. And then in the summers, where I live currently, I spend time cruising up and down the Sierras to get in meeting with those different organizations. I can't do that all the time, right? I just don't have the bandwidth to be like on a monthly basis, checking in with all of those organizations in person. But I do get down there at a minimum once a year for in-person engagement. And then we use those virtual touches to help continue strengthening the relationship. And that, to folks that are, I'm sure, that are running other coalitions and, or might be thinking about developing them, I think that's a really important and key component of this. Like, it is as much about the work, the impact that we want to have as it is about the relationship development. And without that trust, it's hard for us to weigh in and have, to wade in on the tricky bits. And so I spend a lot of time with our coalition members and with the leaders of these organizations in service of that relationship.
Last episode, we heard from Amanda Carey from the National Interscholastic Cycling Association, also known as NICA. How important is getting youth involved with your organization?
Yeah, it's something that has been on our mind for quite some time. I think in our conversations with the different trail organizations that we're working with and the different communities, many of these volunteer organizations, they're run, by their board and their volunteer staff is typically an older demographic. And many of them expressed to me this challenge of like, how they engage this next generation of leaders. And really by way of those conversations and our involvement with a number of the California high school cycling leagues, we actually spun up a program which we launched 2 years ago, and it's our teen ambassador program. And for us, it's a way for us to introduce those next generation riders to the art of advocacy and what that really looks like. What does it mean to, and why is it important for young riders and up and coming riders and really anyone that's on a bike to be thinking about the relationship with the land managers, like in California State Parks is a big one, or the Forest Service or BLM. It's also really important to be, really the reason that CMTB was created was to be a unifying voice in Sacramento. And so tying it into legislation and building relationships with the lawmakers and policymakers. And so we want to introduce our ambassadors to these different areas where we work. And then going back to the local level, we also want to help introduce some of these next gen leaders to what it looks like on the at the local level, like with a trail stewardship organization. What does it do if they don't already have that relationship? What does it take to host a trail day and get involved in stewarding lands in your community. So it's a, we launched the program again 2 years ago with our first cohort. You know, I think between the three different leagues that we're working with, it's, you know, over 5,000 middle school and high school riders. And we couldn't realistically engage all of, you know, that entire community. And so we did it in our own small way. But I think has proven to be very powerful and effective one, which is we've designed a cohort-based program that each year we have opened it up to applications to high school juniors and seniors in the three cycling leagues here in California. That's the SoCal League, the NorCal League, and the Northern Nevada League, which has teams in the Sierras. And we have a committee that reviews those applications. We set a cohort of about 8 to 10 ambassadors, and then we go through the process of introducing them, of training them to be an ambassador, what it means to be an ambassador, to speak for your community, to speak for your constituents, introducing them to the folks that we work with on the agency side of things, introducing them to lawmakers, introducing them to stewardship organizations. And by way of this, regular virtual engagement, we're able to, help inspire them, to help them think about, we know they have a passion for cycling. Some of them might go on to race. But what do you do with that passion? Where might you take that? And so, it's been a really powerful program. It's something I've really enjoyed getting to know some of these young leaders. And once they go through that training from January through May, the rest of the year, they'll come back, participate in the different meetings and events and such that we're hosting throughout the year. I was actually just in Sacramento on June 3rd for our first piece of authored legislation, which is ACR 152. And that's designating June 2024 as California Mountain Biking Month. That actually passed the assembly, and we had a delegate team that was on hand in Sacramento, and we actually had two of our ambassadors come out and participate in that. Eye-opening experience for them, eye-opening experience for us, really. You know, one of the things that we have really seen by way of this ambassador program is the way that the dynamic of our conversations change when we're talking with agency, when we're talking with legislators, when we bring youth advocates into the room. You know, they're the folks on the other side of the table are like, you know, the focus of the conversation shifts away from us, from what we're there to ask them about. And really it often moves into them asking these young ambassadors why they're here and, you know, why trails are important to them, why cycling is important to them. And that seems to, by way of our ongoing conversations and relationships with these folks, really, really has a profound effect on what we're able to do and our ability to capture their attention. So it's really been a win-win for all the folks involved, for us, for the ambassadors, for the trail organizations, and for the agency and legislators themselves.
Yeah. I wonder, how many times these politicians get to speak with young people or see them in kind of that environment. You know, it's something where I don't know if there's other groups that kind of would do the same thing, but it's probably a wonderful opportunity for them to kind of hear from, you know, future constituents and future voters and to really be able to kind of see the future there that they're planning and building for.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, I think the idea for the program, it spurred from, I was at a lobby day, I think 3 years ago now, 4 years ago now. We often partner up with some other advocacy organizations, and we happened to be at the Capitol with the California State Parks Foundation talking about parks with legislators. And there was a former park ranger who brought her grandson, who is this like 14, 15 year old, young person, brought him in the room, and he was there just because he wanted to hang out with his with his grandma, and spend some time with her. And she was like, well, I'm going to Sacramento. So why don't you tag along with me? And in every room that we walked into, the person that we were sitting across the table from, the lawmaker or the staffer, they were just mesmerized. Like, why is this 14 or 15 year old person in the room? Like, and it really just, like I said before, it just changed the tone, changed the mm-hmm. dynamic of the conversation. And that's not, I think for us, those are the types of conversations that we want to be having. Like, we need, we need to be able to spark curiosity. And I think that, the young gentleman who was with us that day, I think he saw and had a great experience too, because he got to see what the inside of the Capitol is like, how things happen in that space. So, it was a really eye-opening experience for me, and something that has helped us really fuel where we're taking this program. And I also want to give due credit to, for us in this coalition, as you might expect, it's all about partnership. And we've got some great partners that helped us get this program up and running off the ground. Vanessa Hoswald, she's the league or executive director of the NorCal League. Nikki Peterson is the executive director of the Northern Nevada League. And Haley Childress as well, who is also program director with the NorCal League. They've just also been really helpful. Our background is in sort of youth engagement, and that's where their expertise has been really invaluable to help us shape this program into something that, they know what will inspire their these young leaders and how to engage them. And so that's also been really fruitful as well. It's like we can bring them the access, and get them plugged into the advocacy component of it. And then we have the league partners there to really help us shape the program into something that is, inspiring and fun for these young leaders to participate in.
Yeah, it really highlights just a bit of the conversation that I had with Amanda in the last episode about, I think some of the stuff that I've heard from folks in the lead up to that conversation was that it can be really hard to engage with these youth programs because the numbers are just so much higher when it comes to getting a whole classroom out doing trail work. But there's more than just trail work when it comes to youth engagement. And I think for a lot of us, we struggle with where to start. Yeah. I always joke that I look for kind of an advocate in the high school, so a student that is interested, and then I kind of try to help them to be my connection within the university and or within the high school, and get them to get peers out and to post events and that kind of thing. But it's difficult. It's not an easy thing to do. And so that's what's great about an organization like NICA, is that a lot of other organizations can kind of look to them and rely on them to say, how can we get involved and how can we work with each other? So it's wonderful to kind of hear a success story of that.
Yeah. And we've done it. I said before, we did it in our own small way. We knew that we really didn't have the bandwidth to be able to hit, all 5,000 plus riders in the state. And so we were but that's okay. Hopefully this inspires other programs to spin up. And for, I believe NICA is actually looking at doing or if not already doing a similar program at a national level. We love the idea of rinse and repeat. And so, if this program can serve as a point of inspiration for other communities, other advocacy organizations to engage youth, it's been very manageable for us. And I think the success is really built on us acknowledging what we had the capacity to do in this moment. We, dream, right? You absolutely dream. We want to think about where we're going to go, but, we can't be frozen by imperfection. So let's start with what we can do now and create something that can grow and evolve over time.
That's great. You mentioned it before, but I want to dig into it a little bit more. Tell us about the California Mountain Biking Month and what was involved in kind of making that happen. I think that's a huge thing to have the month of June kind of be dedicated to mountain biking in California.
Yeah. It's been if we kind of go back to what I was mentioning earlier, really we wanted the coalition was intended to be a voice in Sacramento, a voice in the Capitol to engage in the legislative process, to engage in the election process. And so we, from the beginning, knew that in time we would be developing legislation. And it was recommended to us through an advisor, perhaps a place to start for a young organization like ours is to start with a resolution, to start with something that isn't terribly controversial, that can be, you know, widely supported on both sides of the aisle, in both legislatures, in the Senate and the Assembly, and use that as a way to introduce the lawmakers to the California Mountain Biking Coalition as a way for us to demonstrate our reach, right? And the reach of these, the communities of the, to demonstrate the value that these different trail stewardship organizations are bringing to their communities and giving back to public lands. And so what we ended up doing was we have a ACR Assembly Concurrent Resolution 152. And that is, it designates June 2024 as California Mountain Biking Month. So we found two sponsors, one in the Senate, one in the Assembly in California here. And so it's bicameral, it's in both houses, and it's bipartisan. The two sponsors are one's a Democrat and one's a Republican. And so that was also a, you know, important component of this, is like in terms of like it being able to be widely supported. And so, yeah, last week, June 3rd, it actually cleared the Assembly. So it passed the Assembly. This week, it's slated to be passed in the Senate. And once it does, June will be officially recognized as California Mountain Biking Month here in the state. It's something, a campaign, a program that we're going to run every year, each year, you know, for years to come. And the way that it's sort of we're bringing it to life in the state is that our different organizations, the affiliate organizations, they're hosting events across the state throughout the month of June, bike tune-ups, dig days, skills clinics, other just community events that are really, you know, banging the drum and really, again, helping us to demonstrate the reach of the community and the coalition itself. So we're really excited about it. I think for us, it's a celebration of the life and culture of mountain biking. For those that think it's just a sport, you know, we're really missing sort of what the value of this. Like this is a way of being. It's a culture and it's a life. And these events and the different organizations that are participating are helping us to demonstrate that. It's also been something that we've seen some broad support from our industry partners as well, something that they can get behind. And this year we actually partnered with a couple of folks to help us, you know, elevate this campaign. We've gone fossil free for the month of June, and we've partnered with the EV manufacturer Rivian. They've actually donated a vehicle for us to use during the month. And so I'm currently on a road trip driving around California to all of our different partners, checking out events and, again, just helping sort of support the different communities and such that are around. And then we've also partnered with two California brands to help raise money and funds to support the both local and state advocacy for cycling trails and public lands. And so we're working with Marin Bikes and Ibis as well, and doing bike giveaways to help us raise funds for those local and state programs. So really appreciative of all of the folks who have helped make this happen, our legislative and government affairs team who got the legislation, drafted the legislation, found the sponsors and co-authors, and then all of our different partners, our local trail organizations, our industry partners and such that are really making this a fun and beautiful celebration of cycling and trails in California.
That's great. How can people learn more about the California Mountain Biking Coalition?
Yeah, the best place for to do that is through our website, camtb.org. That's got all the information about the different trail organizations that we are working with. It's got information about the Ambassador Program, California Mountain Biking Month itself. And also, we have some great stuff happening on our socials as well, so Instagram and Facebook there. And I encourage everyone to sign up for our monthly newsletter. We provide regular updates on the different legislation that we're tracking and influencing here. This is going to be a big year for us in terms of the elections. And so we'll be, publishing a voter guide in the late summer, early fall that will be focused on recreation and trails and really helping to find, again, support the lawmakers and such that have stepped up in support of trails and here in California. So yeah, encourage everybody to check that out and feel free to send me a note too. Part of my role is traveling around the state and discovering and seeing and the different communities and their approach to trails. We really want to be a medium for, to support, sustainable trails in California and to be a medium to support local communities as well. So I encourage you to reach out anytime, really anyone that's interested in talking about that, both here in the state and beyond. I'm just happy to share what we're up to and also learn more.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Michael, for taking the time to chat with me. It's been great.
Thanks so much for having me, man. Have a great, great afternoon. Thanks, everyone.
This episode of the podcast was recorded on the traditional territory of the Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish, Musqueam, and Stolo Nations. My guests join me from the traditional territory of the Cayuse, Umatilla, and Walla Walla, as well as the Washoe. If you're curious to learn more about the traditional territory that you occupy and recreate on, then visit native-lands.ca. Like always, you can find the show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FrontlinesMTB. You can also join the Facebook group at Advocates on the Frontlines of MTB. And you can send me an email or audio file to info@frontlinesmtb.com. Thank you to Eric, Jake, and Dave for contributing to the conversation as Frontline VIPers. Want to become a Frontlines VIPer? All you need to do is support the podcast with a donation. And on that note, thank you to Jeff, Alexa, Jacob, and Drew for your recent donations via PayPal. To become a Frontlines VIP member, to receive early info about upcoming shows, you just need to support the show via PayPal, and you can find a link in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find links to the California Mountain Biking Coalition and our episode sponsor, HivePass. Thanks to Flan at HivePass for your continued support. Music, as always, by Lee Rosevere. Production notes by Jennifer Pride. Artwork is created by Brandon Gallagher Watson and BGW Creative. And finally, I'm Brent Hillier. This is Frontlines. Thanks for listening and happy trails.